Well, this morning we're going to go ahead and we're going to take a look at a passage of Scripture. And actually, I'm going to kind of skip over a couple of things here and start with my verse. I copy-pasted it ahead of my title. So we're going to start here in Matthew chapter 11, verse 28. And this is something Jesus spoke. And you know, it's interesting. Just before he spoke this, he looked up to heaven and he said, "Oh, Father, I thank you that you've hidden these things from the wise and the prudent, and you have revealed them unto babes," little children, little, you know, people that were humble. You know, when you look back at the ministry of Jesus, the people that got Jesus, they were the people that responded to John the Baptist. You know, John the Baptist preparing the way of the Lord, that was powerful. That was important. It was like the bell saying, the Messiah is coming, the Savior is coming. And you see the people that embraced John's message of repentance, their hearts were prepared to receive the Lord Jesus Christ. And a lot of times, well, those people that rejected John the Baptist and weren't quite sure about him were the same ones that rejected Jesus. But John the Baptist had a very powerful forerunner message that helped prepare the people's hearts for the Lord Jesus Christ. And Jesus could look up to heaven and say, "I thank you, Lord, you've hidden these things from the wise and the prudent." Those that went down in the waters of baptism for repentance under John's baptism, their hearts were ready when the Messiah came. They could see it. They got it. And they were the ones that were, in many times, blessed in many ways, healing and teachings and whatnot. But Matthew chapter 11, he goes on to say, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." Again, these are just beautiful words of the Lord Jesus Christ, and truly the words of a shepherd. The words of a shepherd who is calling his flock to come and find rest and peace. The title of the message this morning is simply Entering God's Rest. Jesus talks about rest. "Come unto me, you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." And this morning, I really want to focus on that rest part of it. Because I have found in my life that a lot of times, as God leads me into those paths of righteousness, He'll give me direction, He'll give me breakthrough, He'll give me wisdom. I find that in my life, the order of Psalm 23 really applies. The first thing He'll do is He'll make me lie down in green pastures. He'll lead me beside the still waters. He'll restore my soul. And then He'll lead me into paths of righteousness for His name's sake. But there is a quieting that takes place first. There's a place of peace and rest where, yeah, I don't have the answer to that financial situation. I don't have the answer to that relationship situation. But I know that I am at peace with God. I know that my heart is clear. I know His presence is with me. I know that He loves me. He's for me. I've got that quiet place. I've got that rest. And I so love, again, what Jesus said, or kind of how He said it. He just said, you know, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden." You know, and He doesn't say, "And I'll figure everything out. I'll deliver you immediately." No, "I'll give you rest." That's talking about rest in the midst of the storm. We've got a stormy day today, so it's kind of a good illustration. You can have the storms, but you can have absolute peace and rest in the middle of the storm, regardless of allegorically what that storm could represent, circumstantially, again, relationship, finances, you could fill in the blank there, but there is a promise of rest in the midst. And so a lot of times it's important for us as believers to get to that place of rest, where we have that peace. I remember a Rhema instructor relating an experience that she had, and she was young, she's just getting started, and you know, she loved the Lord, she was equipped, you know, to really minister and teach, but there was somebody who came to her that had all these problems. I mean, horrific things that happened into her life. I mean, things that she had never even heard about, didn't even realize there was levels of perversion out there that existed. And she was coming and just giving her all this kind of a, just all her life story. And then, you know, she's there and she's hurt. And she's looking to this young, you know, teacher, instructor for direction. And she felt so overwhelmed. It's like, oh, how do you fix that and that and restore that and all that? And she said, as she was talking to this gal, all of a sudden the spirit, you know, this is the instructor now, she said, as she was listening to this gal share everything, and she's sitting there wondering, what am I going to do? What am I going to tell her? She just heard the Spirit of God rise up in her and say, he just said in her spirit, that spontaneous thought that pops into your head that you know isn't you, it's bigger than you, it's brighter, wiser, and that thought popped into her head, and the Spirit of God just said, get her to the throne of grace, and I'll take it from there. There's a lot of things in your heart that people just can't fix. They just can't say that one verse or that one thing. They're, praise God for different ways we can minister to each other and help each other and be a blessing. And God does use us, no doubt. But there are some things that you're going to get that'll be very private, that'll be very intimate, that'll just be at that throne of grace, that'll be in those green pastures and those still waters. You know, that is one of the biggest things that I like to do when I feel like I'm, you know, mentally or I'm at a certain crisis or situation. It's like, okay, it's time to get to the green pastures. Time to get to the still waters. And thank God for all that we've been taught about faith. I believe faith. I believe in finding the promises of God and standing and believing. But I also believe in first things first. Getting your heart to that place. You know, the Bible doesn't just say when the enemy goes about as a roaring lion, resist him. No, it says submit to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Humble yourselves under his mighty hand and you'll have grace. There is a sequencing that goes on in our walk of faith. And I'll tell you, first things first. When I know I'm walking with God and I'm right with God and my conscience is clear before God, I mean, I can admit to my shortcomings. You know, when I'm not close to God and I'm, you know, you're guessing and you're hoping, you're very defensive. But when you're in that place of just walking with the Lord, it does something to you. He gives you rest. I was sharing the other day how I was at one of those inflection points in my life as far as direction. And it was interesting. You know, I've kind of related, and I've related to our Door of Life family, just the story about how, you know, I was actually talking with a guy, and the guy said, you know, because we were talking about ministry and next steps and all that kind of stuff, and I just said, you know, he asked me about ministry, because I've been computer programming for quite a few years. And I said, yeah, well, someday out there, yeah, we know we're gonna go out in the ministry someday. We're gonna start a church someday. And he looked at me and he said, well, you know, Ed, maybe now's the time. Maybe now's the time that you got to do it. And when he said that, something in my spirit jumped. Yes, maybe now's the time. But kind of that story that I've told, there's another story that kind of wraps around that story too. And that's the fact that, when 9/11 hit, I was a contract programmer, and if any of you happen to be contractors at the time 9/11 hit, you might be able to relate to what I'm talking about. But when 9/11 hit, contractors were gone. Companies were tightening their belt, stock market dropped, everybody was in kind of a panic, protective, hunker-down financial mode. So you dropped the contractors, you hired the freezing. So it kind of locked me out both ways. Not only did my contract get cut short, but now I couldn't even get a job because there was a freeze on hiring for the local areas. And so you're kind of on the outside looking in. And that was, again, that was about 9/11 that happened. Well, it did happen at 9/11, but shortly after, maybe a week or two, you know, you finish out something. But I remember that fall of 2001, we just really got ministry focused. We had a neighborhood Bible study. We invited people from all denominations from our neighborhood, and we were able to have just a really wonderful time. I got more involved in the school and teaching, and it was a season of really getting spiritually focused. And I just remember it was just the season of waiting on God, just getting full of His Spirit, just really ministering to the Lord, getting to that place of rest in God. Because here I am. I don't have a job, and I'm not able to get back in. I'm trying, doing my due diligence in the natural, but as it turns out, you know, it's taken a while. So that conversation I related to you as far as maybe now is the time, that took place in late December. So it had been 3 months, all right, 3 months that I had just taken a season in life where I was just spiritually focused, entering into the rest of God, focusing on Him and His plan, praying things out. And so when that guy said, maybe now's the time, that spirit, His Spirit just jumped in me. But I've often wondered, what if I had just had all the work I could do. 9/11 never happened. I was just busy. And we had that same conversation. Would I have still heard that? It's so easy for the cares of life, you know, the desire for riches, other things can enter in and choke the word. It is important that we keep our heart in that place of rest to hear from God and get direction from God. So, in terms of just entering God's rest this morning, the first thing that we want to talk about is ceasing from our own works. And we're just talking again about getting in that place to where it is you and God, His Spirit, His grace, patience, taking one day at a time. Number one is ceasing from your own works. And this is Hebrews chapter 4, verse 1. It says, "Therefore, since a promise remains of entering His rest, let us fear lest any of you seem to have come short of it. For indeed the gospel was preached to us as well to them, but the word which they heard did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in those who heard it. For we who have believed do enter into that rest, as He said, 'So I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest.' Although the works were finished from the foundation of the world, there remains therefore a rest to the people of God. For he that is entered into His rest has also ceased from his own works, as God did from His. Let us labor therefore to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief." Now, this is a Memorial Day weekend, and we honor those who fought for our freedom. And it's also appropriate to realize and understand that as believers, you find that there is a fight of faith that we engage in as well, too. It's a spiritual one. And here, we see an interesting picture. We see a picture that there's a rest that belongs to us. Jesus says, "Come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." And so we see that there remains, therefore, a rest for the people of God. He also goes on, you know, to say that but what we have to do is, for he that is entered into his rest, he also has ceased from his own works as God did from his. In other words, if we are going to enter into that rest, those green pastures, those still waters, there is going to be a ceasing from our own works. Remember the psalmist said, "Unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain that build it." There are some things, in other words, that we're doing, that we're internalizing, things that are going on in us that we have got to let go of. And I'm just going to kind of go through a few of these. I'm not going to spend a whole lot of time because I want to get on to another part of this. But just here's some examples of ceasing from your own labors. You've got to cease from condemnation. Okay? There is no way you are going to just yield and beat yourself up over and over, reliving those mistakes that you made and enter into His rest. There is a ceasing from that. You know, the Scripture just says, if you confess your sins, He's faithful and just to forgive you of your sins and cleanse you of all unrighteousness. You can confess your sins, receive that cleansing and forgiving from all unrighteousness. Hebrews 9 says, "The blood of Christ, how much more shall the blood of Christ purge your conscience from dead works, so that you can serve the living God?" Having confidence in the blood of Jesus, one of those great ways that we cease from our own labors, the labor of guilt and condemnation, we just say, "Okay, nope, I'm not going to beat myself up about it anymore. There is nothing that I have done in this life that was not born on that cross. There is no iniquity that I have succumbed to that was not laid upon Him." What does that do? Why did He take that? So that my conscience could be cleansed from those dead works, that I could serve the living God. And one of the big things that we have to cease from is cease from the failures and the condemnations of those past mistakes and just realize that, no, praise God, it was taken care of in Christ, and I received that forgiveness and cleansing of all unrighteousness. The other area, let me just say too, that we have to cease from, and that is cease from comparing ourselves amongst ourselves. You know, God placed you in the body of Christ to a certain spot, whether it's the hand or the arm, the foot, whatever it is, He gave you a specific place in this body. And one of the things that can weigh us down in terms of laboring is when we feel like we've got to measure up to super Christian. When I say super Christian, do you know who I'm talking about? I'm talking about that Christian in your mind that can win the lost like the greatest evangelist, you know, that can compassionately reach out like a pastor or a teacher, that person who just makes all kinds of money to finance the message of the gospel, that person, you know, you can in your mind almost kind of create this composite person who's just the best at everything and feel like you never measure up. And you know what? There is no super Christian. The Bible put us, you know, God says it pleased the Father to place each one of us in the body according as it pleased Him. Each one of us is a part of this body. Each one of us is a member in this body. And so I can get past the, you know, the Apostle Paul put it this way. He said, "He who compares himself amongst, if you compare yourselves amongst yourselves, you are not wise." You know, it just don't do it. You're running different races. It's for the same Lord, for the same purpose. But there are different works He's placed in the inside of me and has ordained me to walk in than the works He's ordained you to walk in. And me looking at the works He's ordained you to walk in, and I want to walk in those works. No, 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 no. Lord, show me what You want me to do. I want to be what You've called me to. There's peace in that. Ceasing from your own labors. Not comparing yourself amongst yourselves. Not trying to do something that you aren't called to do. Cease from putting confidence in the flesh. What do I mean by that? You know, the Apostle Paul said, "Man, I'm a Hebrew of the Hebrews. I've tribe of Benjamin. I've done all the works of the law. You know, you look at the natural. You look at me. I've got all my I's dotted, my T's crossed. You know, I'm putting confidence in that. You know, and I will just say this too. There is also, you know, thank God for again elections, votes, and vote godliness and vote righteousness. Righteousness exalts a nation. Vote righteousness." But I'm just going to say this too, is that be very aware in your own spirit, in your own heart, that you don't put confidence in the flesh, okay? In other words, the Apostle Paul, after he got done going through his resume, you know, he said, "I count those things as nothing that I may be found in Christ, not having a righteousness that's my own of the law, but that which is through faith in Christ Jesus. My righteousness is totally from God. It's a gift that's given to me." All right. Now, I believe in righteousness and voting righteousness, and from a political standpoint, voting in a political righteousness. But I'll say this, sometimes that political, you know, those rights stands politically, and you can kind of get a political righteousness, and that can almost become a cloak that you hold on to, gravitate for, that's a substitute for the gift of righteousness. What does that look like in real life? It looks like this. If you're wondering why I know about this, because I've been down this road. I'm about half frustrated with myself, you know, for having done that thing again, you know, and you're just frustrated and you're mad. And I've just found that sometimes a relief for me has been to turn on the TV and watch some political things. Just get stirred up. How can they believe that? Don't you see what they're doing? And just feel good and right. There can be a cloak of political righteousness that covers over some of the real issues and the frustrations of the heart. Talking about ceasing from our own labors. These can be subtle, especially in an election year like this. I understand how that can be a great relief. But what do we got to do? We got to go back and say, "Hey, my righteousness, I'm found in Him. You know, I do believe in godly, righteous things, but my confidence isn't in those things. My confidence is in Jesus. My confidence is in the blood of Christ. My confidence is in Him." And whether the guy wins the election or doesn't win the election doesn't change one iota how my heart is rooted in that confidence in Him, in His strength, in His purpose, in the way I see myself and I'm able to function and flow. Praise God. Yes, I still have my influence, but my heart is found in Him. Not having a righteousness that's my own, but that which is through faith in Christ Jesus. So, just some concepts as far as, and then I'll say one more along these lines as far as ceasing from our own works, and that is to cease from blame shifting. That can be a kind of another cloak as well, too. You know, in the Genesis account, when God confronts Adam, the man said, "You know, the woman you gave me," and then the woman said, "Well, the devil, you know, made me do it," and then you know, nobody just came clean and confessed. And so what they did was they sewed fig leaves to cover their nakedness, which would really be just kind of excuses. You know, we can always find somebody else to blame. as the cause for why we did what we did. Your mind can come up with something. You know, okay, yeah, I did that, but I was so frustrated over here because of this. That can always happen. And those are labors. And those things that we think we're finding relief in, those are the very things that are making our burdens heavy. And so there's a ceasing from your own works. It's like, I'm not pointing to things. I'm not comparing myself amongst myself. I'm not doing things that make me feel better about myself. And a lot of times even the shows where they'll have those daytime shows where they'll have really weird situations on there that this person, is doing all these kind of weird, strange things, and they're living with 15 people and all doing all that kind of stuff. And there's kind of some strange things that you'll look at and go, wow, oh, wow. Think, man, I might be messed up, but I'm not that messed up. You know, and kind of find relief in that kind of stuff. It's like, oh, nope, there's no relief in that anymore. There's no relief in political stuff. There's only relief in God, in Jesus. I'm ceasing from all those, my own labors, all those works, all those little tricks of my mind that I try to use, and I am just finding my peace in Him. Finding my peace in those green pastures and the still waters, because there's a rest that remains for the people of God. Jesus said, come unto me, and I will give you rest. But there is that ceasing from our own labor. So I just kind of bring some of those up as, just some things to be aware of. Some labors that are going on up here that you may just not even necessarily be aware of and say, no, Lord, I'm coming to you. I'm coming to you for your grace, your mercy. So we cease from our own labors, and then there is a labor to believe. There's a laboring of entering into that rest. Jesus put it this way. He said, then they said to him, what shall we do that we may work the works of God? Jesus answered and said unto them, this is the work of God, that you believe in Him whom He sent. Message. Jesus replied, this is the work service that God asks of you, that you believe in the one whom He has sent, that you cleave to, trust, rely on, and have faith in His messenger. The work is to believe. Have you found that out yet? And this is where all the other little teachings kind of come in. You know, as far as believing God, standing in faith in the Word, different things like that. But this can be a help, I think, when we can see the big picture. That my believing, my trusting, my praying, my declaring the Word of God, it's a form of laboring to enter into His rest. There is a rest for the people of God that just comes from His feet. And I love so much this story, and this is out, I don't have it up there, but it's Luke chapter 10. It says, now it happened as they went, Jesus entered a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha welcomed Him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard His word. But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she approached Him, Jesus, and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore, tell her to help me. And Jesus answered and said to her, Martha, Martha, you're worried and troubled about so many things, but one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen that good part which will not be taken away from her. You know, it takes humility and faith to stop striving and to sit at the Lord's feet. You know, that running about, again, allegorically, you could just say it kind of represents us trying to do stuff in our own strength and our own ability. But that sitting at Jesus' feet and just listening to His words, letting those words feed your spirit. Jesus said, my words are spirit and they are life. And there is just something about going to your Bible and listening and reading those words and letting those words feed your spirit. The Scripture says faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. You know, another little story in the Old Testament that you kind of see kind of familiar with this in terms of the Mary Martha story is that, when Nahum the leper came to the prophet, and the prophet just told him, hey, all you got to do is Elijah just said, all you got to do is go and dip in the water seven times and you'll come up whole. you know, just go dip in the water. And Nahum was so offended at that. He's a great military guy, wanted to do some great big thing. And so he left offended, literally. And his servant said, you know, if he would ask you to do something powerful or amazing or, you know, read 3 chapters a day and pray 3 hours a day, and, you know, you would have done that. But he just asked you to, you know, I'm inserting words there. These are kind of our works that we get into to try to enter into that rest. But he said, no, just go dip in the water 7 times. And so he went in, he came up whole, came up clean, you know. But what did he want? Nahum said, I wanted him to come and wave his hand over me or do something dramatic or spectacular. And he said, no, just simple obedience. You know, a lot of times you'll get in that place of those green pastures, and God just gives you the grace sometimes to do what you already know to do. You know, you know it in your spirit, but there's something about getting in that quiet place where you can just, okay, Lord, here we go. You know, I've got questions and wondering, but this is what you've told me to do. This is how you've told me to address this, to approach it. I'm going to go for it. I'm just going to simply obey you. The work is to believe. It's not a religious works program. It's a faith trust program. It's where you're looking to Him. Now, let me kind of give you some ways that we can labor to enter into that rest. Powerful ways. This is where, you know, the very concept of confession can come in. When you begin to declare the Word of God, begin to speak the Word of God. You know, you may be dealing with fear, and you know that there's a place of rest from that fear. And you know what the Scripture says, as Jesus said, it is 2 Timothy 1:7. You know, God has not given me a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. You know, part of the laboring of believing to enter into that rest is meditating on those Scriptures. It's not mind science. It's not metaphysics. It's the power of God. We are commanded in Scripture, Philippians 4:8. Finally, brethren, those things that are true and honest and just, pure, lovely, of good report, virtuous, praiseworthy, meditate on these things. Psalm 1, blessed is the man, walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, doesn't stand in the path of the sinner, doesn't sit in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and he meditates on it day and night. And he's like a tree planted. Whatever he does prospers. What's the cause? Meditating in the Word of God. The words, Jesus said again, my words are spirit and they're life. Part of that laboring to believe is when you begin to find what the Word of God says, and you begin to make that your Scripture, your promise, holding on to it. There is life and power in that Word. The Scripture says about itself, the Word of God is quick and powerful. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. It divides your soul and your spirit. You know, it divides your soul and your spirit. Pretty amazing. Your spirit man and your mind, the Word can get in between and give you kind of an outside perspective of yourself and look at yourself objectively. And that comes from reading the Word of God. That laboring to enter into the rest. You see, now if I'm reading the Scripture, you know, you've seen it too. People can do it in a religious way. That is absolutely not right. You can maybe even see the prayer in the newspaper. You know, say this prayer 10 times, and that thing will be gone. You know, and a person goes, okay. You know, our Father who art in heaven, they're just trying to get to 10, okay? That's not faith. That's not laboring to enter into the rest. The power is in those words, meditating in the Word day and night. There is power when a believer meditates in that Word. Let's just kind of look at a few other things, just aspects as far as laboring to enter into rest. We've kind of touched on a few of these, but Hebrews chapter 4:15, it says, for we do not have a high priest who can't sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. I'll tell you what, or 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You see, He does two things. He forgives us of our sins, and He cleanses us from all unrighteousness. The forgiving is the accounting aspect. The cleansing is the thing that restores your conscience. Like Hebrews 9 says, how much more shall the blood purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? You'll notice that conscience is important when it comes to sin. It's important to confess your sins. I know they've been paid for 2,000 years ago, all of them. But I also know that the devil's authority was broken over my life 2,000 years ago too. But it's important to realize that the redemptive blessings that were obtained through Christ 2,000 years ago are appropriated by faith today for us. In other words, Jesus spoiled powers and principalities, made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in his cross. That's awesome. That's wonderful. Does that mean the devil's forever resisted off my life? No. He still goes about as a roaring lion, and I have to, by faith, appropriate that authority that belongs to me in Christ to resist him. Jesus paid for all my sins 2,000 years ago. Does that mean that they're automatically cleansed and forgiven off my life? No, they're not. I still, by faith, confess my sins and receive forgiveness for my sins, and I'm cleansed from all unrighteousness. Because they've been paid for 2,000 years ago, I can do 1 John 1:9. This is important. It's important in the area of your conscience. It's not a higher revelation of the grace of God to think that you don't have to confess your sins. It's playing tricks with your own conscience. It's important. It's important to confess your sins. When you look at the verbiage, Hebrews chapter 9, how much more shall the blood of Christ cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? A future appropriation of the grace of God. Yes, they were all taken care of 2,000 years ago. But if you're going to enter into his rest on top of a guilty conscience without confessing your sins according to the scriptures, it'll play games with your mind. It'll play games with your conscience. No. The Bible says in 1 John 3, it says, if our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart. He knows all things. It is powerful to release. I'll say this, not only does this work powerfully in the way of receiving your forgiveness, it's powerful in the way of forgiving others too. Have you noticed that? That when you forgive others too, that they're not forever cleansed in your mind? You have to on purpose and say, Father, in the name of Jesus, I forgive so-and-so for doing such-and-such. It was sin, it was wrong. And even as you have forgiven me, I have forgiven them. I release that in Jesus' name. They are forgiven. There is something powerful when you begin to declare and speak out. It's like it clears it out of your mind, clears it out of your conscience. And because of the blood of Christ, thank God that provision for the cleansing is there, that we appropriate by faith in the name of Jesus. This is important. It's not a higher revelation of grace to not confess your sins. You can try it and you can play with it and think, I got to just see myself cleansed. No, you need to take ownership. If you missed it, you need to go before God and say, Father, I missed it. I'm sorry. I receive forgiveness and cleansing according to the Word of God. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Praise God. That's important. And I know there's doctrine in the body of Christ today contrary to that. And I just want you to know, as a pastor of a New Testament church, it's important for you. If you violate your conscience, and I'm not saying brother so-and-so says you shouldn't do that and you did it and they're judging you and they're being legalistic. Not at all. I'm not talking about legalism. I'm talking about you crossing lines that you know are wrong in your own heart. You violated your conscience. Whatsoever is not of faith is sin. When you know you've done wrong, it is important to go before God and say, Father, I'm sorry. I confess that. That was wrong. And I receive forgiveness. And I thank you for the sacrifice that iniquity that was laid upon you, my iniquity, it was paid for. I receive the forgiveness and the cleansing of that right now in the name of Jesus. That's important. That is important for entering into his rest. There is just something about it. So then when the enemy comes along and says, you said this, you did this, say, nope, I've confessed that. That is out of my life. The stake is driven, it is cleansed, it is forgiven in the name of Jesus. Very important. Again, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. So I just say, if you've been taught the other way, pray about that. Pray about that and search your own heart. There are issues of conscience that are so important when it comes to believing God. And it is so clear in Scripture that it is important for us to confess our sins. And it's not a lack of revelation of the fact that He paid for them 2,000 years ago. Absolutely He did. But we still have to confess according to the Word of God, which clearly tells us to. to receive cleansing and forgiveness of that unrighteousness because he did pay for him 2,000 years ago. And again, what are you doing? You're by faith appropriating by faith what Christ's redemptive blessings paid for 2,000 years ago. So, and let me say this too. Be quick to repent. When you miss it, be as quick as you can to repent. You know, quick to get it right. That's what I love, you know, our great example, Peter. You know, Peter messed up. He said some things, put his foot in his mouth. You know, when Jesus was washing their feet. And Peter says, no, you will never wash my feet. He said, well, if I don't wash your feet, Peter, you have no part of me. He said, okay, wash my feet, wash my hands, wash my whole body. He was that quick. Say, okay, I'm right, you're right, I'm wrong. You know, having that heart, keeping a tender conscience. That's the importance of the confession of sin. It causes you to be honest with yourself about your own actions. When you get good at denying that what you did was sin, and you get good at cloaking it with a revelation of grace without confessing it, you get good at that, you're going to get good at deceiving yourself. Don't do it. I'm not just saying, you know, kind of. I'm saying it's important. It's important to come clean and clear in your own conscience as it relates to the confession of sin. It's not to beat yourself up or to be sin conscious. It's to deal with sin and get it out once and for all. You will actually be more sin conscious by not dealing with it directly and trying to project a revelation of grace on top of it. No. You want to be free from a sin conscience? Be honest, be upfront, declare it, get it out in Jesus' name, and it's done. And you go on down the road. That's truly being free from a sin conscience. And that's important. Again, as you're getting to that place of grace, that place of rest, that place of peace. Another area, Philippians 4, 6 through 8. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your request be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are noble, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there's any virtue, if there's anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. Praise God. You talk about, believing, laboring into rest. Here's a great way that we labor into rest. On purpose. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer, let those supplications be made known to God. Remember, Jesus said, come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. You're labored, you're heavy laden with things, situations, circumstances. The goal isn't answers, deliverance at that point. It's the rest. I'm going for the rest. I'm going where my God is. I'm going to be thinking His thoughts. I'm going to be fed by His Spirit, by His Word. And I'm going to be led to do what He calls me to do. But I'm getting to that place of rest. Do I have the answers to these things? No. But I'm letting my request be made known unto Him. What do I get in exchange for it? The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. I would rather be a person who's going through a bunch of stuff, but knows how to let his request be made known unto God, and knows how to let that peace guard my heart and mind in Christ Jesus, than to have everything going right and nervously trying to keep it that way. I'll take this any day. I'll take that place of rest. Because there's a lot of things in life God will call you to do that to your natural man, to your natural mind, you got grace to do it. You just learn to live by grace. You learn to live by that peace. And yeah, you're not looking at the circumstances, the relationship, people. You're just looking at that rest. It's like a peace barometer on the inside. Well, do I have peace? Do I have the answer? Well, do I have peace? There's a peace that passes your understanding. And the Lord just told to me like this, if you want the peace that passes your understanding, then you've got to want the peace more than the understanding. If you need to know before you can have peace, then you can't have the peace that passes your understanding. You've got to let your request be made known unto Him and say, the peace that passes is greater, supreme, above, over. Yep, let it guard my heart and mind in Christ Jesus. Let it help to take every thought captive and bring it into the obedience of Christ in my mind and keep my heart focused, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of my faith. There is a peace that passes all understanding. There is a believing. There is a laboring into rest. So when we say, okay, what am I going to do about this? We're going to pray. And I'm not just going to pray to do my time to pray. I'm going to pray in faith and let my request be made known unto Him and receive that peace, the green pasture that keeps your heart and mind in Christ Jesus. And then eight's the follow through. Whatever things are true, noble, just, pure, lovely, good report, virtuous, praiseworthy. Meditate on these things. Those are the things you want to meditate on. Get your heart and your mind fixed on. Praise God. That's the follow-through from your prayer. Praise God. That's the thing that's going to keep you in those green pastures, in those still waters. Praise God. While you're getting grace, getting direction. James 1, 2 through 5. Here's another exercise in laboring into rest. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience, but let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. Count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. Again, to be in that place where you're patient. And by faith, how do you count it all joy in real life? You know, one of the great ways to count it all joy is just to begin to worship God and give Him glory and praise and honor for the things that you have, for the things that you know, for the good things that He's done in your life, for who He is. There are so many things that we can just stop and give thanks and praise to God. The perfect illustration, of course, the classic is, you know, Paul in the Philippian jail, the midnight hour. His back is beaten. He's in the inner prison. Feet are fastened in the stocks. And he just begins to praise and worship the Lord, counting it all joy in the middle of a bad situation. The earthquake comes, loosens the chains. They're able to get the jailer saved. That's something that we're still able to do. We can still praise the Lord in the midnight hour, give glory to God, laboring into that rest. Laboring, turn on that CD that blesses you, that worship CD, or whatever it is. It could be a radio station. Begin to feed your spirit with the Word of God. That's a laboring. You're going against the grain of your feelings, but it's a laboring to enter into rest. And how many times does that happen? I mean, I've had it just turning on the radio, just kind of going down the car and just kind of in my mind, whatever, turn on the radio, a song comes on, all of a sudden I'm spiritually minded. All of a sudden, there's life and peace. All of a sudden, there's a place of rest. There's a counting of joy, singing along. It's amazing the power of spiritual things that we have right at our disposal, that we can use, that we can access. And so there's a laboring. We can count it all joy on purpose. We don't have to wait until everything gets perfect before we can do that. And then finally, I'm just simply saying, see the rest. And what is that? That's really the hope of our hearts. Hebrews 11:1. It says, now faith is the assurance, the confirmation, the title deed of the things we hope for, being the proof of things we do not see, the conviction of the reality. Faith perceiving is a real fact, what is not revealed to the senses. In other words, as you're beginning to enter into God's rest, begin to see yourself coming into that place of wholeness. Again, whether it's a financially, relationship, whatever area of your life, see it. Faith is the substance of things, confirmation of things that we hope for. Hope for. In other words, I'm not just, you know, laboring. I'm laboring into rest. I see where I'm going. There's direction here. I've got more peace with my finances every day, more strength and grace for that relationship every day. I can see where I'm going. I'm going to that place of peace, going to that place of rest, going to that walk with God. I'll tell you what, there's no greater joy in the world to be walking with God and knowing you're walking with God. Not just getting out of your problems, but getting excited about where He's taking you. Those paths of righteousness for His namesake represent not just deliverance from a situation, but from going from glory to glory to glory. Being used by God in ways that you have never been used by God before. Being used by God to speak His word, to minister His power, His grace, in ways that you haven't seen before. There is a hope. There is, you know, seeing that rest, seeing it. There remains, therefore, a rest for the people of God. And just realizing, Lord, I am laboring to enter into that rest, that place of walking with You where I've got peace. Again, it's a little different message this morning. It's not about the deliverance or the answer or the fix or the money or those. It's getting into that place of rest with God. And then from that place, He'll begin to show you those specific things. Number one, we have to cease from our own works. We have to cease from guilt. We got to cease from beating ourselves up, from blame shifting, from comparing, from what I call confidence in the flesh, your own ability, your own strength. whether it's a political righteousness or whatever, my confidence is totally in God. This rest is completely based on what the Lord Jesus Christ did for me. And then there's that laboring to believe. That's when we begin to get those things in our heart lined up. Father God, in the name of Jesus, I receive a clear heart, forgiveness and cleansing of all unrighteousness. I cast my cares over upon you. I begin to worship and praise the Lord and begin to get focused. You know, a lot of times, even when we'll talk about resisting the devil, you know, there is a resisting of the devil where you begin to, you know, you just say, in Jesus' name, you can take authority over a spirit or something like that. But there are a lot of things you can do that just have a resisting effect, you know, where you just begin to worship God, get on the Word, begin to meditate on the Word of God day and night. It just has a resisting effect, where the enemy just can't stay in the presence of that. Perfect love casts out all fear. There's just something about drawing near to God, drawing near to His Spirit, His love, His grace. And then finally, where we just begin to see the rest. We just begin to see that thing that I'm entering into. In other words, I see myself right now, heavy laden, praise God, I see, praise Lord, I am in a place of rest and peace. That peace that passes my understanding regarding every area of my life. And from that place, Lord, you can just begin to speak to me, talk to me, lead and guide me by your Spirit into all truth. But there's a place that he wants to bring us to. That place of rest on the inside, where there is grace and strength, and just where you know that you know you are right with God. Praise God. Well, Heavenly Father, we just come before you in the name of Jesus. We thank you that there is that place of rest. And I pray for each one here this morning, that wherever we may be in life and circumstances, that we are just drawn into that place of rest, that we cease from our own labors, and we begin to do those things, that laboring to believe, that causes us to get our heart and our mind and our focus on you, that draw us into that place of peace and rest and strength. Go ahead and make this your declaration if your heart can agree with it. Say, Heavenly Father, I thank you. There is a rest for the people of God. There is a rest for me, for my situations. You know it completely. And there is a peace that passes my understanding for everything I'm going through. I labor into that rest. The work is to believe, to trust. So I on purpose look unto you, Jesus, the author and finisher of my faith. I set my mind on your precious word. I lift my voice in praise. I receive the grace and forgiveness that belongs to me. I let it cleanse my mind from all unrighteousness and rest in you. I see the rest. I see your desire for me to learn of you, your meek and lowly in heart. That's the way I want to be too. Full of peace, full of rest, in a place where you can lead me as Lord of my life. Lord Jesus, today is my day, the day I call upon your name. I believe in my heart you died on the cross for my sins. There are many things I don't understand. There's one thing I choose to believe. You love me. I receive that love now. Come into my heart. Be my Lord. Be my Savior. In Jesus' name, amen.